I love it. You're going to love it. Well, good morning. Welcome to this gathering of Heritage Baptist Church. You have come on an awesome day. We got a lot of energy here today, and then we're going to wrap it up down in the gym with a lot of food to feed that energy. Smell good down there. I went down a couple minutes ago. There's a ton of stuff. So if you're here, you're a guest, or you got something else to do afterward, I promise, change your plan. Spend 30 to 45 to an hour and a half with us. Come down, hang out, get your belly full, and be loved on by some of Jesus' people. This is the fifth Sunday, which is why we have the meal. This is the last Sunday, so we're having Family Sunday. So children, sorry to disappoint you. As an adult, it's going to be the rest of your life, so you might as well get used to it. Right? You're here hanging out with us this morning. You're not the only one here hanging out with us. Brother Terry Swanson is here from the Gideons. He's going to come this morning, and he's going to share a little bit about their ministry with us. As we finish up today, we will be taking a love offering up for this ministry. They are doing the Lord's work. If we believe that the power of God and the will of God is found in the Word of God, then these are the people that are putting it in places you and I would never think to do it. And so we are thankful for that. We've also, in the last decade here, had a really good partnership with them. Vacation Bible Schools, the Belarusian Ministry, they have supplied us repeatedly with Bibles for special occasions for New Testaments to pass out. Even when we had the Belarusian Ministry here a couple years ago, I think we sent them back home with like 100 New Testaments, Psalms, and Proverbs, unleashing God's Word on a people that don't have it as freely as you and I do. And that is something very, very special. So today, you and I will get the opportunity to help bless that ministry. If you're like me, you don't have any cash and you don't have any checks, and I can guarantee you Terry doesn't have a credit card reader on him. So we're going to have to do the old Google thing here and figure out how to give to that ministry. So today, if you want to be a part of that when we give this love offering, go home today, look up the Gideons, and I'm sure they have a way to give on their website. Make sure we wrap this thing up, because you and I are giving. The most powerful thing this world has to offer is the Word of God, and we're giving it to those that may not get it at any other time. Brother, would you come? I'm going to get him a microphone. Which one should I use, Stephen? Handheld one in the pulpit. Oh, man, you all are so good. We'll give that a second just to fire up, and you should be on.
Okay, thank you.
Watch your step.
Joe Young had parked his car in the downtown Charleston garage, and he had just gone to pick it up. And he was making his way to the ticket booth to pay his fee that he was required to pay. And as he reached the booth, he reached out his hand and offered to the clerk there, he said, "Here is God's word for you. And in the front, there's some help for life situations. It tells you exactly where to go in the scripture. And in the back is the most important part. It's a decision page. And there you can make a decision to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have his gift of eternal life." Well, when Joe looked into the eyes of this clerk, there were tears there. And she explained, she says, "Just earlier in my shift, I really was in a bad way. Things had gone poorly for me, and I just thought to myself, after the shift, I'm going to walk to the river and end it all." And then she went on, she said, "God, if you're real, you better show up." So when Joe shows up and offers it, here is God's word, there's help for life situations, it grabbed hold of her heart in a firm way, and she knew that God was real. You know, I'm a firm believer in 1 Corinthians 3:6, where the Apostle Paul says, "I plant, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the increase." He changes the heart, and he's the one that touches lives. The Gideons, who are the Gideons? We're business and professional men, and we are ones who believe in this Bible was the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We stand on this as the truth. And we are now, now in some 200 countries around the world. There's 250,000 Gideons and our wives who are a member of the auxiliary. And they are out there planting the word. We're all members of the Protestant Evangelical Church. Now, I just, our only purpose is to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we do about it or how we go about it, I just want to say we just take whatever skills and abilities that God has given us, and with faith we step forward and step out. I just want to share one example. It was this past summer. We had been allowed to get back in the Mount Olive Correctional Center. I was a little bit apprehensive about that, but there were 12 of us that were going in up there. There's some 900 prisoners. But God was with us all the way. It started out, one of the ladies who worked in the correctional department based in Charleston took a day's vacation and was our host. We went in that prison, and we found it was on 120 acres, and they had these buildings in a big circle, 150 prisoners in a pod, and they were all in the circle. The bottom of the circle was the dining hall, and we were stationed there at noontime, and they would release the 150 prisoners. They'd come down, have their lunch, and as they came out, we didn't know what to expect, but what we found was that it was something different from their routine. And they were happy to talk to us. And indeed, by the time the 900 had gone by, about half of them had received testaments. And they had many conversations with us. There we are in a sea of 100 or 150 at a time, prisoners, but God blessed us. And it was a wonderful time, and he was with us. But we step out into places that the church in itself can't easily go to. So that's what we do. Why does it matter? Yesterday I was going through trying to clean up my files, and I had a testimony file, and it's an inch or two thick of people who have had their lives turned around, saved, just as a result of contact with God's word. God's word has changed lives in the past, and it will in the future. We know Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be, it will not return void. We trust in that. That's our theme verse. We're just going on that. Now, there's a second reason that this matters, and this is a kind of, I personally really feel strongly about this. There are many people in this world, and some even in this country, that are never going to see a Bible, let alone have their own personal copy, unless we put a free copy in their hand. And there are just many places in the world that we just need to place God's word in those places. I just want to share one testimony of one of my camp members. Bruce Clark happens to service ATM machines. He was in Ashford, Kentucky convenience store, and there were three clerks there, and he had three of these personal workers' testaments. We buy these ourselves and give them out wherever we have opportunity. There are witnessing aids. Bruce gave those three testaments out. It wasn't very much longer that night. An elderly gentleman came in. He was flabbergasted. He's beside himself. He says, you know, my granddaughter is in the hospital. I don't know if I have enough money for gas to get there. And one of the clerks immediately went out and started pumping gas for him. And the retail clerk who had just received that testament said, "You know, sir, right now I think you need this testament more than I do." And she gave him that testament. Well, that elderly man left, and the next day he came back. He said, "I wanted to thank you." He said, "I did get to the hospital, and I stayed in that waiting room all night long reading God's word, and I got saved. To God the glory. To God the glory." He takes our small efforts, and he gives an increase. He multiplies them. He does the heavy lifting, and we can trust and depend on him to accomplish his purpose. How can you be involved? This church has been a strong supporter of the Gideons in the past, and first thing you can do is pray. You know, we hope to place 57 million copies of God's Word this year. We're sowing seeds. We're an extended arm of this church, reaching out in so many different areas, placing God's Word one by one in people's hands. Pray for this to go forth. Actually, in some places, it's risky to be a Christian, as you know. But continue to pray for us. Secondly, we get in, we all volunteer our time. We pay our own expenses. So every penny you give goes to purchase and shipment of God's Word somewhere in the world. This costs $1.50 approximately. And what an investment to save a soul. $1.50 to save a soul. So placing a full Bible in a hotel room is $5. So you can make a difference with your contribution. You can be a light in the world as you give, and that makes a difference. There's a card rack I put in the room out there. You can also make a difference in your community. You can use that Gideon card program. The cards are free. You have to write a note, or should write a note in there. When a Christian family has a loved one passed away, you can remember them, express your sympathy by just sending them a card. And then there's an envelope in there where you send the funds to the Gideons, and they'll place Bibles in that memory of that person, or if it's a happy occasion, there are cards for that. You can make a difference in your community. We're called to be lights around us and be light in the world. So you can do that. Lastly, if you're you might be interested in becoming a part of the Gideons, you can participate in that as being a member or being a friend of the Gideons. If you're so interested in doing that, I'll be here. You can talk to me at the end of the service, and we'll love to talk to you about that. Again, I just want to thank you. Thank you for sending God's Word into the world and touching lives for his kingdom. Thank you.
I would not take lightly the idea that they are going and sending Bibles places that are dangerous for Christians to live. Some of those people have never touched what you and I take for granted. You can pull it up on your phone. It sits around on your bookcase at home, gathers dust on your coffee table, gathers dust. I mean, we would be better off, instead of writing names in them, to actually open them and read them. We would be a lot better off to honor the Word of God just by opening it and listening to what He has to say. They're doing that around the world. So we're going to pray for them right now. Then we're going to be in Psalm chapter 42 today. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you for today. We thank you for the goodness that you have poured out on this world with your word. Lord, I thank you in my life for the opportunity to pick up the word of God, to hear what he has to say to me, to my wife and my children, our family, our community. our church, our nation, our world. There's been a lot of sweat and tears and blood be poured out to give this word to us. Our mothers and our fathers, Christians in the past, have suffered so much to hold, to hide, to transport. We thank you for the Gideons this morning and that constant reminder that there are those that still do that. And Lord, there are those that are taking the Word of God around the world to places that we'll never go, but yet we can be a part of that. And God, I thank you for the missional movement you have within the church. Everyone may not be called to go, but everyone is called to send. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help our church just to continue to embrace that idea over and over and over for every year, for every day we have left to be this body. Make the missional movement of God important to us as it is important to other people. And most of all, as it is important to you. Jesus, we love you. Your name is to be lifted up. And where do people see and hear your name from? The Word. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to bless the Gideons. Continue to bless those that are partnering with them. Continue to bless your Word as you pass it around the world. And God, even today, may there be in this moment someone picking up one of these testaments or one of these Bibles and reading it, Lord, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. But save that soul. Make a brother or a sister in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, do we have anything with the teachers of Sunday school or children's church that they would like to participate in this morning? Got anything going on? All right. Well, let's go to Psalm 42, and then we're going to go have lunch together. We have been in the themes of the book of Psalms now for the last couple months. Okay? Parents, I'm going to need you to listen real close to what I'm getting ready to tell you, because I need you to be able to apply what we talk about today in the next 15 minutes or so. I need you to understand, as you are loving and rearing these children, as you are discipling them, you and I are going to have to teach them this, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, and we both know it, you all know it, if you're in the work world, you know it, there's not a whole lot of grit left in our nation. Things are soft, things are easy, things are fast. And you know what that creates? Weakness, impatience, frustration. We are immersed in things to make our life easier, faster, and technically better. But it's doing something to our soul. It's weakening it. You and I are having trouble navigating through life just as it is. Because listen, it's not going to change. It's going to be hard. There's going to be times where the answer is no. There's going to be failure involved. There's going to be pain involved. There's going to be all these things. That's not going to change because you and I have 10,000 gadgets to make it easier. It's just not going to change. We may be able to hide it and walk from it and run from it and skirt it every once in a while, but eventually it's going to show up at your door. And what I'm going to give you today in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43, what I'm going to give you today is a couple themes in Psalms that you and I are going to need to know how to do ourselves, and then we're going to be able to pass that on to our children. And in order to drive that home, we'll finish today in John chapter 13, because I want to show you that even our Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, the only perfect human to ever live, God and man, He knew how to do this. And John 13 shows it to us. Start with me this morning. These themes we've talked about, if you're writing them down, praise in the Psalms, promises, prophecy, power. Talked about protection in the book of Psalms. We've talked about the idea of pleasure, position. What is my position? What is God's position? We've talked about pain. We've talked about Jesus' post. Where is it on the throne? He has not moved. We've talked about perversion of this life. What's breaking our heart and what's driving us crazy? It's not as God had made it. It's not what He's going to remake. So in that, it's harmful. It hurts. Talked about the pursuit of God, the provision of God, penitence when you and I have sinned, what it looks like to really repent, Psalm 51. And Psalm 42, number 14, the 14th theme of Psalms is push. Are you ready? As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan to Hermon to Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone out over me. What's going on? Life is just pummeling this person. Life is just pummeling the psalmist. All of your breakers have hit me. I am thirsty. I am needy. Life is hard. It's not even the breakers of the world. He's looking at the Lord and saying, all of your breakers, your waves are coming over me. Wave after wave. You ever been caught in a wave train? What's it like to get pummeled once or twice? Try to get up and catch your breath. Try to get out of that. Right? When we're at the beach, no matter what the ocean is doing, there's a rip current somewhere my wife is trying to keep us out of. Wave after wave after wave. The psalmist is saying, man, I am taking a beating. Life is hard. What is going on, Lord? Verse 8, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Kind of finishing with the end real quick here. The psalmist is speaking from a position that you and I would today call a Christian. My God and my Savior. And yet in the middle of that, there's all this brokenness and all of this pain. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. He's coaching himself. He's exhorting himself. Not because it's easy, because it's hard. And in the midst of all of that, there is this push. This push, you and I need to be able to make sense of this world, the God that we serve, the God that has loved us and manifest Himself to us. We need to be able to make sense of that in this context. I remember what He has done already. I remember what He has done already. The psalmist is remembering in the midst of his turmoil. He's remembering what God has done. And if God is the same yesterday, then that means He is the same today. So even if my life is hard and the news is bad and my enemies are chattering, my God is still in control. And my soul needs that shove. It needs that push. Why are you cast down? He's talking to himself. I remember Johnny Hunt had this at a pastor's conference. He preached on this passage, and there was another one. And because I'm flying off the cuff right now with this story, I don't know which one it was. But it was talking about being a wineskin and smoke. That was the title of a sermon. He was talking to pastors, a wineskin and smoke. You're just dry, dried out, ready to break, ready to bust. You're about done. And this was one of the comments that he come up with, that sometimes you and I need some encouragement from ourselves. You and I need to process what is going on in our life, and the God that loves us, the God that has called us, Jesus that has died for us, and we need to take that information and do something with it. Because it's just sitting there at all times. That information is true. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It's true. For the Christian, you better believe it, and it's always there. So what are we doing with it? Because when times are hard, you know what you and I have a tendency to do? Forget it. We have a tendency not to think about it. And the point of the passage, one of the points of this passage is that information is there. Look back and remember. Look in the past and see God be faithful. That way when you go forward, you know He is still faithful. There is a tomorrow. You see, theme 14 is the push. Why, my soul, are you broken down? Why are you beat up? Why are you tore up? What is wrong? Why are you ruining this day? Why am I ruining this day? What is wrong with my soul? God is good. He has loved. He has cared. He has saved me. Jesus has come. This life is as bad as it gets for you and I. You understand that? That's a concept that'll change your life. It never gets worse than this for you and I. Heaven is much different. This is the most hell you and I will ever know. This is boot camp. It's hard. The payoff's coming. Right now the requirement is just be faithful. Do not quit. Psalm theme 14, push. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Listen, sometimes why do you and I need to be able to do this ourselves? Because we are so private, we are so stubborn that sometimes you and I don't tell anybody else that we're struggling. Now, the first piece of that remedy is simply this. That's sinful and wrong. Do you understand that? The Word of God says you and I are a family and we need to be sharing with each other on repeat the things that are hard and the blessings. So if we're sitting around isolated, lonely, not talking to anybody and doing all this stuff by ourselves for a prolonged period of time, you're going to get eaten or you're going to get lost. Sheep need a flock and sheep need a shepherd. You got a good flock here of people that want to love you and want to help as best they can. Are they busy? Yes. Do they have a bunch of little kids? You tell me. There's a lot of things going on. So we're showing each other grace and we're loving and we're living this life together. But the simple fact is this, we cannot hold all this stuff in. And if you are by yourself dealing with things, then you better know how to do this. What's wrong with my soul? What is wrong with me today? Why am I ruining minutes and hours in frustration and irritation? My God is King. My Jesus is Messiah. My future is bright. Even if this is the last day of this piece of the future is bright. Amen. We need the push. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. Verse 2, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalm 43 sounds a whole lot like what? Psalm 42. Everything's going great, Lord. Thank you. It's so easy. We talked about this the whole time we went through the book of Job. The goal of the Christian life is when it's hard and when it's lonely is to know the Lord and for Him to be enough. That's it. That's it. When the bank account is full and the news report are good and the mortgage rates are down and the future looks bright, He's enough. But man, when inflation hits and you're being ruled by doofuses or immoral, wicked people, or man, work is hard, or you just took a pay cut, or you just lost your job, or the doctor's report wasn't good, the goal of the Christian life then is He enough? If He is not for me and you, that's not on Him. That's on who? That's on us. God doesn't change. Corey Ten Boom could love Him in a Nazi concentration camp. And you and I have a hard time in a $50,000 car on the ride to work. Mark Driscoll says, if you can't say amen, you ought to vote Ibaka. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Right? We can't love Him in a 4,000 square foot home with AC and heat. And you understand what I'm saying? Yes. The goal of the Christian life is not when it's all good to be good. The goal of the Christian life is when it's all falling apart, you and I are still steady and sturdy and anchored and hanging on. Psalm 42. Psalm 43, all my enemies are talking. They're egging me on. Where is your God? Why do you take refuge in Him? These deceitful and unjust men are coming against me. Verse 3, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. Where? Into the future. You see, I can look back and remember what God has done, but I need His light to lead me into what's next. His truth. You know, it's no coincidence that the Lord sends a representative from the Gideons here on the same day we're talking about the light and the truth of God. What's anchoring you and I in is the light and the truth of God. If it's not, it's just your will. And guess what, friends? When's the last time you broke a diet? When's the last time you went against your word? When's the last time you woke up and you knew you were going to have a good day and by 8:30 you weren't? Our will is so fragile. It's so frustrating. It's so manipulatable. Is that a word? Malleable. Is that the word I was looking for? Somebody shake your head. Yes. I need an English person. Yeah. We're good, and then we're not good. His light and His truth are leading us forward. The psalmist knows it. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Where are the light and the truth of God going to bring us? Into the presence of God. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Psalm theme number 15. You and I need perspective. You and I need perspective. We are living in the moment. Some of them are great. Some of them are the most blessed thing you'll ever be a part of. We've had people get married. We've had people with babies. We've had people have good news from the doctor. Like, we've seen these blessings, and those moments are awesome. You're living in that moment. It's easy to live there. You praise and you thank and you share, and it just flows. And then some moments are hard, and you're living there. What gets us through that is perspective. What happened yesterday? What has God done yesterday? What has He done in His Word? What has He done for His people? If I don't know those stories, I am robbing myself of the strength to navigate today properly, walking into or through His light and His truth into the future. Perspective says, I know who He was and I know who He will be. I know what He's brought me through and I know what He's promised. And right now I'm living in this hard middle moment. But it doesn't supersede. It doesn't change my mind. It's the reason why you and I are commanded to remember His blessings. Why? So you don't forget them. Maybe somebody coming along with you needs to hear them too. So now when you're telling others or you're building your Ebenezers, other people are seeing them and asking questions, and you're able to say, man, let me tell you what the Lord did. Let me tell you how He brought me through this. Let me tell you how He took care of me. The plan that was made. You see, there's perspective. Past blessing, future blessing. I'm living in the moment, trying to love God and honor His name. But the only thing that keeps me walking down that right path is to remember what He's done and to be reminded of what He's going to do. What He promises. The only thing that makes this Christian life worth living is His presence right now in the moment, but the promises of what He's going to give you later. There's nothing wrong with thinking that way, you all. You and I are living in this kingdom, but we're investing in another one. So when you're struggling or you're sacrificing for that kingdom, you need to remember God is going to bless. Jesus says, not a cup of water given in my name is going to be forgotten. What do you think that means about heaven to come? You and I are investing there. You ever talk to somebody that's smart with money? I wish I'd have talked to a couple more of them when I was like 20, 21, 22. You talk to them now, and what do they tell you? You better be doing what with your paycheck? You better be investing. Future's coming, right? You ain't going to feel like working. You ain't going to feel like doing this. Like, you better have some stuff in savings. You better be saving that money. Don't be spending all that money. The investment in the future to come is important to people that have an idea, have some wisdom, right? How much more so spiritually? How much more so when you and I stand in front of King Jesus? We stand there in front of the one with eyes of fire, a sword that comes out of his mouth. I mean, I'm talking Revelation Jesus. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. We'll stand before Him and He's going to say, what you've given, I will return tenfold. What you've given was a small sacrifice for what I have. What gets us there is perspective, life in general. Why am I here? What am I doing? And where am I going? What does the Lord want me to do? What has He done already? And what is He going to do? John 13. Man, that coffee is kicking this morning. Woo! So can I show it to you? Now, you know, I don't believe you. You're a fool. It's impossible to do. John 13, early in the Gospel of John, as far as numerically, we're already in the last week of Jesus' life. John chapter 13, we are almost to the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if Jesus died at 33, we're at 33. Like, it is coming. Now, here's my question to you. Is there going to be a more sacrificial, servant-oriented thing ever done in history than for Jesus to go to the cross? No. What else can he do? You gonna pay for my sin? Listen, friends, parents, you need to figure out how to navigate this with your children. That sin that should have been poured out on you and I was poured out on him. That mockery and that embarrassment and that pain should have been mine. It was his. Now, we are that close to that happening in this story. And what does Jesus choose to do at the start of the Last Supper? Most people know this story, right? You can say it out loud. What is it? Wash their feet. Man, can you feel like Peter? Don't touch my nasty feet. They are nasty. Bunions, weird, hurt. No, Lord. Jesus, you're going to go to the cross. They're going to falsely accuse you, pull you into a kangaroo court, tell horrible lies, pull your beard out, beat you, strip you naked, and hang you for the world to see. And that's mine. What are you going to do? Jesus, John chapter 13, verse 4, rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. That's all you need to read. We're minutes away from the cross. We're minutes away from that. And in those final minutes, what does he do? I could not understand this story. Like, what else can you teach about servanthood? We're getting ready to see it. What Jesus teaches us about this life is spectacular. Will you pull up verse 3 for me? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, dressed himself like a servant and washed their nasty feet. When I candidated for this position, this was one of the sermons. We preached two sermons. This was one of the sermons I preached, John 13, verse 3, because the Lord wrecked me with that idea. What gave Jesus the power to go above and beyond? It is a superpower in the Christian life. Perspective. He knew who he was. He knew in the moment what he was and who he was. And he knew tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, those 40 days, he knew where he was going. And because of that, he dressed himself like a servant and washed their feet. The superpower of the Christian life is perspective. Where this life is, where I am at, what is going on, what God has done, and what he is going to do. That makes you and I different. That makes you and I so different. And friends, as you and I struggle in a culture where there is no grit, no drive, it's filtering into the church. We're offended and we're leaving. We don't want to have hard conversations. We don't want to make it a safe place. We want to get mad, be offended, let it stew, make other people mad, make them angry. We want to quit the first time it gets hard. Somebody insults me. Somebody pushes against me. I want to quit. I want to throw a fit. I want to be like one of these kids in the floor kicking around. No grit. And what's it doing to us? It's harming everything. It's harming this church. It's harming your life. It's harming your relationships. It's harming what you're showing your kids. It's going to harm them. We need perspective, and we need a push. You and I need to be able to drum this stuff up. Life's going to be hard, and in the middle, you're going to fold, or you're going to dive into your faith and find a God big enough to handle whatever's going on. Romans 8:28 still applies. All things work together for good. Them that love God and are called according to His purpose, no matter what you're going through, falls into that bucket and gets swallowed up. Yes. You say, I don't like it and I don't want it. It doesn't matter. You're not smart enough to navigate by yourself. I'm sorry. It just is what it is. You and I would love to be in charge. I would love to be in charge. And boy, would I make the biggest mess you've ever seen. Of my life, of yours, of my family, oh man, it would be unbelievable. The stories would be outrageous. You and I don't get to operate like that. God is in charge. He knows what's good for you. He knows what's good for your family. Lean into that. Love that. Take the perspective that He has blessed in the past. And until He is done with you, you are indestructible and your future is secure. Why? Because you are in, sealed up with the Holy Spirit, in Jesus, in God. As He is, so are you, Christian. Now here's the other piece. If you don't know Him, you're just flailing. That's the bottom line this morning. This whole world is flailing. You want to know why? Because it wants its own way. It wants to be in charge. It wants to make that mess. And it's going to kick and squirm around till it gets what it wants. And you know what the funny thing is? Not until America have people been able to have everything Solomon had and figure out in mass, it's not working. Solomon was unique in the Old Testament because he had everything he wanted. Free time and food and power. An army. Money. Had it all. Ecclesiastes says, vanity of vanity, it's all in vain. And you and I have taken that and made it wholesale. 2023 America, you and I got it. Bellies are full, entertainment's on, we don't have to do what we don't want to do, and it is poisoning us. Friends, if you don't know the Lord, or if you have run away from Him, your life is as chaotic as the world around us, and you should just expect all the insanity to be poured out on you. And it's going to drive you crazy until you and I yield. The invitation this morning, as they come, as the psalmist cries out in Psalm 42 and 43, my God, my Savior, my Lord, what is going on? The invitation this morning is I want you and I to cry the same way. If you don't know Him, you need to know Him. If you've never made Jesus King, if you've never bowed your knee and your heart to His kingdom and said, I want to be a part of that. I want to give all that I got into that kingdom. Friends, it is so much better off to be a servant in Jesus' kingdom than it is to rule your own. Amen. His kingdom is still strong, still vibrant, still going. There's an amazing quote by Napoleon, and he made the comment, of all the other kings and dictators and tyrants, they have ruled by the sword and they have died. But Jesus rules with love, and His kingdom goes on. And guess what? It outlived Rome, and it outlived Napoleon, and it'll outlive Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and it'll outlive Xi Jinping, whatever, from China. It'll outlive all of the Hamas. It'll outlive every one of them. You and I will be in that kingdom with Him on the throne. And while everything else spins out of control and you're trying to figure out what's wrong with your life, it's because you are not anchored to the one big enough to hold it. Neither am I by myself. Neither is Bill Gates. Neither was Steve Jobs. Right? Worth $6 billion, gets cancer, and he's gone. Like, this dude's a genius. Probably worked 20 hours a day. Elon Musk, another genius. You know what? His time's ticking. King Jesus is still living. And you and I are in Him. So as long as He lives, we live. As long as He reigns, you're fine. Right there behind Him, the one that loves you and the one that gave Himself for you. Stand with me today. If you need something, you come. If you don't know Him, I am begging you, sort this out today.